I thank you so much to Paul and the team for leading us so well today. I don't know about you, but I really felt an unusual sense of God's presence in this place during that time of worship, and thank you to the team for leading us so well. Well, friends, you know, one of the great joys of belonging to a local church is that you get to enjoy times of worship together and times of fellowship together, but you actually get to share your lives with each other. And over the course of my 6 years of being a pastor here, it's been wonderful to get to know many of you on a deeper level. But also there's times of saying goodbye. Certain people move to different cities and move to different countries. And today we say farewell to the Roth family. Warren and Matthew have already gone over to New Zealand. They've been settled there for a period of time. But today I want to invite Helen and the girls up to the front, if you don't mind, Helen. And we just want to pray for you and wish you God's richest blessing as you make the big move over to New Zealand. We're going to miss you guys so much, man. Have you ever seen two more precious young ladies than this? Emily and Ella, come up here, ladies. You know, I don't know, Helen, how long you guys have been a part of this church for, but I'm guessing many, many, many years. These kids were born into this church. It's been their spiritual home for a long period of time. And Warren has served in so many ways over the years. And yeah, we're going to miss you. But in many ways, we know you're going to be a blessing to New Zealand as well. And I think that last song we sung was so relevant for you, that behind you, the cross of Jesus goes ahead of you. And you're going to hear today, God is the same God in New Zealand as he is in Ganubi. The same Jesus that we worship here, you'll worship there. And so we're still part of the same family, just separated by an ocean or two. So let's pray God's blessing over the Roth family and just wish them well for the future. Father, I want to thank you so much that your word says in Corinthians that though we are many, different people, different families, yet we are one body in Christ. Lord, we share the common denominator of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I want to thank you for the Roth family. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that they've meant to me on a personal level over my 6 years of leading this church. But Father, more than that, all that they've meant to so many others over many more years during their time at Ganubi Baptist Church. Father, we know that uprooting and moving to a new city is challenging, let alone a new country. But Father, I thank you that you are faithful and you are good, that you go with the Roth family. Lord, you've gone ahead of them to prepare the way already. And I pray, Lord, especially for Emily and Ella as they settle into new schools and make new friends, that, Lord, you would just be so gracious to them and allow them to settle quickly. Lord, she bids farewell to Mom. I just want to pray for your grace and peace over that relationship. And Lord, just that this next season in New Zealand will be a blessed one in every possible way, that you cause your beautiful face, Lord Jesus, to shine upon this family. And may they be a blessing to New Zealand as they've been a blessing to us here in Ganubi. Lord, we look forward to a reunion somewhere down the line. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Go well. Love you, girls. Yeah, and I've just received a message via technology. It's amazing what WhatsApp can do, that there will be cupcakes and cappuccino available in the hall after the service. Hopefully you haven't put all your money in the offering plate because you can't get it back. Once it's in there, man. But if you've got a bit of change left, you can go and grab a cupcake or a cappuccino. And of course, all that money goes towards a good cause for next year's Turkey trip. Last Sunday night, remember Nathan Ganetsky was with us. And believe it or not, but we managed to fit 372 people into this building. I don't know how we did it, but we made a plan. Nathan shared his story, Beauty from Ashes. And a real story of hope. And so he sold out the books he brought on Sunday night, but he has got more available yet today. And throughout the course of the week, you can get them from Jeanette. The envelope is at the back there. It's an honesty system. So you take a book, you put your money in the envelope, and we just trust you. I mean, this is Ganubi after all. We're very trustworthy people. I mean, just look at you. Not one of you would steal from a guy like Nathan, surely. So, God Boy Ocean, if you can't get a copy today, they are available at Kum Books. For a little bit extra, you get a discount at the church. But if you go to Kum Books, just 20 Rand more, and God Boy Ocean is there. It's a beautiful, amazing read. I've started it myself. Luckily, pastors get them for free. What a bonus. I tell you, the benefits are out of this world, literally. And then don't forget that in 2 weeks' time, we've got Jeremy Sibarken from Africa for Christ joining us for the weekend. That's the Saturday breakfast plus the Sunday services. Now, Jeremy, as I've told you before, is one of my very best friends, and he's going to bless this church like Nathan blessed you last Sunday. If you haven't signed up for the breakfast, I've got 30 spaces left, so we're filling up quickly, but I can still make 30 places available. And I want to encourage you to come for two reasons, folk. Now, it's actually good to be together in that context as a church family, to share a meal together, to have some conversation, some coffee around a table. That in itself is worth coming for. So that would be number one. And number two, Jeremy's going to share some real inspiring stories about what God is doing both in our country and around the continent of Africa. Often we see the bad news on television, we read about it in the newspapers, but behind the bad news, God is doing incredible things in terms of the church. And so I want to encourage you from a fellowship perspective and from a spiritual input perspective, make sure you get to that breakfast. Now, in the hall next to the cupcake table, you're going to find three beautiful young girls manning a table. At the table, there are breakfast tickets available. So if you've put your name down for the breakfast, you can go through to the hall, and before you get your cappuccino, get a breakfast ticket. That means you'll pay your 55 Rand to the girls behind the table. If you haven't got money this week, it's not a hassle. You can do it next week. You can do it through the course of the week. But the point is to have those tickets available in your hands before the breakfast actually starts, so we don't collect money on the day. So if you got money, get your ticket today, otherwise next week. And if you haven't yet signed up, you've still got time. I've left a list at the back there. Just put your name down, and next Sunday you can pay and get your ticket. But it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful morning not to be missed on the 16th of November. All right, well, having said that, you can see the baptismal font is open next to me. The water's warm as toast. I've checked it. So I'm looking forward to baptizing three people this morning, and then we'll do another nine this evening. So I'm looking forward to that. But before that, I want to get stuck into God's words. If you got your Bible with you, you can turn to James, and we continue with our Faith Work series in the book of James. Each week has been a different challenge. I'm sure you found the same. And remember, James's whole point was what? There must be a connection between what you claim to believe about God and the way you live your everyday life. You've got to connect those two dots. And so in different areas, James has been challenging you, are those dots connected? Is what you claim to believe about God expressing itself in all these different areas of life? And I think throughout the course of chapter 4 and even the end of chapter 3, remember the main points James was making. He was saying there's two streams that you can follow. Remember those two streams? The one stream was a stream of false wisdom, where you make yourself the center of the circle, remember that? And then everything else and everyone else, including God, revolve plans. And we saw that road leads to disaster. And even your prayer life, it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling because you're in the center of the circle and your motives are wrong. So that's false wisdom. On the other hand, you've got true wisdom, which then places Jesus in the center of the circle, and we revolve around him. And Matthew 6:33 then becomes your verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you as well. So you can imagine a house. He's been speaking about the walls of the house, and today he tackles the foundation upon which the walls are built. And again, you're going to see two streams emerging. One stream is going to be the stream of pride and arrogance, and the other stream is going to be the stream of humility. So great challenge there this morning. Let's read James 3, verse 13, at least James 4, verse 13. Just four verses. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Father, as we tackle these four verses again, as has been the case throughout the book of James, these verses are full of incredible challenge on so many levels. Lord, as we evaluate our hearts in the light of arrogance and pride and humility, give us the courage to really see where we stand. Give us the ability, Lord, to make the necessary changes that we may live our lives in true humility before you and before others. We pray this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Right, well, the first point that James makes, I think, was pretty obvious. You saw it there in verse 13 and 14, and that is that you and I lack knowledge regarding the future. In this case, there were more than likely a group of businessmen, and they had plans to travel to a certain city, maybe Cape Town or Johannesburg, spend 12 months there making some money, doing some business, making a profit. And I'm sure we all agree there's nothing wrong with that. We're doing that all of the time, trying to provide for our families, trying to earn a living, trying to make some money. So what was their problem? Well, I'm sure you saw their problem was twofold. Number one, they made no mention of God. We're going to Cape Town. We're going to spend 12 months there. We're going to make some money. We're going to make a profit. But nowhere in their plans did I hear the name of God mentioned once. Can you see who's in the center of that circle? That's me. God, you revolve around my plans. And James says, hang on a second. This is going to lead you to disaster. That was problem number one. And problem number two, James says in verse 14, is look what he says. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Now, some of us, and I would include myself in this bracket, are meticulous planners. We leave nothing to chance. So I can tell you even today what my diary looks like for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Our plan, our budget, nothing really takes me by surprise. And so you might fit yourself into that category as well. Others of us are more go-with-the-flow kind of people, or as Ganubi calls them, happy-go-lucky. So you just take things as they come. But regardless of where you fit into that spectrum, James is crystal clear about one thing. None of us can be 100% certain about what tomorrow will bring. There are so many variables. There are so many circumstances. There are so many things beyond your control that could potentially happen that could change your tomorrow on a radical level. Now, last Sunday, I was flying home during the service from Johannesburg, but just before I boarded the plane, I was standing at the departures lounge with a group of people. There was a man there with his wife and his daughter having a conversation about the rugby we were going to miss. The semi-final was going to start in 15 minutes, and we were going to miss that rugby match. And they were talking together as a family. Within a split second, the man, the husband, the dad, fell down and died in the middle of the airport. He had a heart attack. And literally from Dieter to myself away, this gentleman in his mid-40s just collapsed to the ground and died. And there was his young daughter trying to wake him up, and he was gone. So yeah, he was talking about a game that was happening 15 minutes later. Little did he know that 15 minutes for him wouldn't come. And so James says you can be a planner. You can dream. And in fact, Proverbs says plan and be prepared for the future. But in the back of your mind, realize that you have no concrete idea what tomorrow holds for you or for your family. And so I guess that should produce humility, that we don't know, but God does. Look how the Apostle Paul spoke about his plans in Acts chapter 18, verse 20. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back to Corinth if it is God's will." Paul didn't have misplaced bravado. He said, I'd like to come back, but if God wills, I'll be there. And in 1 Corinthians 4:19, "But I will come to you very soon if the Lord wills." Can you see, like us, he had no absolute knowledge of the future. And so in humility, he recognizes that. "I don't know, but if the Lord wills, I will be there." And then he continues in verse 14 with a very, very challenging verse. He says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Now, that word mist is a very important word to understand. You may have in your mind a lingering fog or a mist, like sometimes you see around the Queenstown area. But this is actually, the New King James gives a better translation. It's the word vapor. You might have that word in your Bible, vapor or puff of smoke. In other words, there one moment and it's gone the next. You see these guys who smoke these e-cigarettes or these guys who vape, there's a huge plume of smoke and then it's gone. I don't know where it goes to, but it vanishes. Rubel, I think I saw you with that the other day. Oh, was it just something else? Okay. But it's amazing how that plume of smoke just vanishes. It goes somewhere. And James is saying, actually, your life is like that vapor. Even if you get to live a long, full life, 80, 90, 100 years, even that 80, 90 years in the light of eternity is a vapor. It's there and it's gone. And so James says that should produce humility in our lives. We lack knowledge about the future, but we also lack the power to do anything about it because we are simply vapor, yet today and gone tomorrow. Now, if that's who we are, let's take a moment now to flip the coin and to compare who we are to who God is. And this is where the confidence starts to build, okay? So, our knowledge is limited. God, on the other hand, and here comes a big word, it's a theological word, but I'll explain it to you, is omniscient. Omniscient means, it means that God is all-knowing. There is nothing that takes God by surprise. While we got excited yesterday about the Boca winning the World Cup, God was yawning. I already knew it was going to happen. There's nothing that God doesn't know, past, present, or future. He's all-knowing. And I don't know about you, but that fills my heart with confidence. Because although I don't know what tomorrow holds, I have a loving Heavenly Father who knows exactly what tomorrow holds for me, for Paula, for my children, for my future, and my life is in His good and faithful hands. I can sleep well at night. It is well with my soul. There's no stress. There's no anxiety. There's no sleepless nights. In the back of my mind, I know because Jesus Christ lives, I can face tomorrow. He holds my life in the palm of His hand. Past, present, future, He knows it all. But not just that. The Bible also tells us God is omnipotent. In other words, God is all-powerful. There is nothing beyond God's ability to do. God has no weaknesses. And in fact, the Bible says in Matthew 28, guess what? All authority and all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Him. Doesn't that fill you with confidence? I'm a vapor. I've got limited power to change anything. But I serve a God who has all power and all authority. There is nothing beyond His ability to do. And guess what? He holds my life and He holds your life in the palm of His hand. A God who knows everything. A God who is all powerful. That is the God that we serve and we worship. And guess what? A God that is so powerful that he can take even those things that had the potential to destroy you. Those roads you wished you'd never, ever had to walk. Those dreadful, painful, horrible times, God can turn even those times into platforms of opportunity and victory. Beauty from the ashes. What a great God we serve. All-knowing, all-powerful, but also we know from the Bible, God is omnipresent. Now that will stretch your brains to think that God is everywhere all at the same time. There is no where God isn't. And I know that for a fact, we've been up in the mountains of eastern Turkey just 2 weeks ago on the Turkish-Iranian border. And I tell you what, God was there as he is in Ganubi. There is nowhere you can go. There is nowhere you can hide. Even New Zealand, God is there. England? Potentially. They may not think so, but he is there. So friends, why I share those things with you is because when you think about who we are, limited knowledge, vapors, limited power, God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God is all-present. What does that do to you? Does it make you feel proud about yourself? Does it make you feel like you want to boast about who you are? Or does it bring you to your knees and say, God, outside of you, I'm nothing. I don't know, but you do. I can't do, but you can. Lord, my life, my family, my future belongs to you. It fills me with humility and with great faith. Now, I love the way that Paul describes the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it is quite humorous, so you can chuckle if you want to. But, and you can maybe, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 14. He compares the church of Jesus Christ to a physical body. And he says, so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And it goes on to say in verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. You see what Paul's saying? In the church, not one of us is everything. We've all got a part to play. Not one of us is strong enough to be everything, but we've got different people with different backgrounds, different skill sets, different abilities, different gifts, different generations. And we come together collectively to form the body of Christ. We are weak, Stuart is strong. We're students weak, strong. And we come together to form this beautiful body of Christ. But I think we saw this yesterday with the Springboks. What if Faf de Klerk said, no, I actually want to play lock in the World Cup final. Now, the guy's so small you can barely see him, but now he wants to play lock. What if Steven Kitsoff decided, no, I want to stop being a prop, I want to be fly half. But he can't because he's two. So, yeah, we have a look at the picture. There, the Bokke lifting the World Cup. You can see Faf's in the front. Faf is small. He must be a scrum off. Eben Etzebeth is tall. He must be a lock. But as that team came together under the leadership of Sia Kolisi, we won the World Cup. And guys, this is a picture of the church. Not all of us can be the captain. Not all of us can be the ones on the platform. But all of us have got a vital role to play. And that is humility. Saying, Lord, help me to identify my part in the body of Christ. What have you asked me to do? Am I a scrum half? Am I a lock? Am I a fly half? Let me find my part. Let me play my part. And the end result is Jesus Christ is glorified. I take trips to Turkey, and one of the places we go to is the beautiful Hagia Sophia interior. That church, magnificent as it is 1,700 years old. So built in 300 AD. I've never seen a single tourist walk into that building and admire one single brick.
Yo, check out this brick, hey.
I've never seen that before. But I've seen tourists with their cameras marveling at how these bricks have come together 1,700 years ago with limited technology to form this magnificent piece of art. Can you see how the body of Christ works? Paul says, though we are many, we are humble enough to know we are not everything. We need each other, and we come together brick by brick by brick to form something magnificent for the glory of God. And that's how it works. So sometimes it's good to acknowledge our weaknesses. And I want to close off by saying this. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us the Lord gave him what he described as a thorn in the flesh. Remember that? To keep him from becoming proud. So even Paul recognized, I've got the potential, even as an apostle, as a leader in the church, to become proud. So God gave him a thorn in the flesh. And no, it wasn't his wife. He wasn't married. To keep him humble. And people have debated the thorn. No one really knows. But this is what we do know. Verse 9. Paul, the Bible says, pleaded with God. Not asked, he begged God 3 times. He said, Lord, take this thorn away. It's tormenting me. The word he used was torment. God said, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul responds, okay, therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Friends, how do we respond to this message as we wrap it up? In humility this morning, you need to recognize that your knowledge of the future and your power to change the future is limited at best. So humble yourself before God and recognize He knows what you don't know. He can do more than you can ask or imagine. His presence is with you every step of the way. There is nowhere you can go where God isn't. May that fill your heart with faith and confidence. Because Jesus Christ lives, each and every one of you can face tomorrow. Because Jesus Christ lives, all fear is gone. Because we know, yes, we know, that He holds the future. And life is worth the living because Jesus lives. Let's come together as the body of Christ, each person playing their part, and let's build something beautiful in Gunubi for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Well, folk, I'm going to just quickly go and get changed into my baptismal outfit. But what I